Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the show called The Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the great insiders from the golf industry, and they'll be placed in the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. This week, we welcome Jeff Brunsky to the show. We're going to talk all about Srixon Golf R&D and more. Are you ready to step into the hot seat?
I am. Good to be here.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf, and the Golf Industry Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you're craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, there's no editing done till the show ends, so you hear it all. This is a kind of a special episode because we're coming right off the PGA show, in which Srixon Golf released three new golf balls, and I'm going to talk to Jeff in detail about those. So to jump right into it, can you tell us, you know, the name of the three golf balls, what's new, without going into too many details, because obviously we'll get into that, you know, in depth throughout the show. But really, it's two right now and then a third coming in a couple of months.
Exactly. The golf balls launching most immediately are the new Z-Star and the Z-Star XV, and that's Srixon's Tour Premium offering. Those are the golf balls being used by our tour players, so that's really the maximum performance golf ball we offer. And it's about 2 months after that, we are introducing for the first time what's called the Q-Star Tour. That is also a tour golf ball in the sense that it has a soft urethane cover, but it's tuned to the average golfer's swing speed, so it's a little bit lower compression.
Now, many companies seem to be going low compression, but you guys have a full family, and in the materials that we get are different than what's put out to the regular golfer. So I don't want to, you know, kind of say that you're putting it out there in general, but Srixon in general and your quotes that come with that are pretty open about compression numbers and everything else. Can you discuss the pros and cons of compression and what that does to a golf ball?
Yeah, I think compression is, I know actually, it's one of the most talked about parameters with a golf ball, but probably the least well understood. And I think there's a lot of information out there that looks like engineering and physics, but actually is more just marketing claims and disguised trade-offs, I would say. So I think, yeah, in general, the Srixon approach, I think the more people understand about how golf balls work and the differences between golf balls, the better able players are to fit themselves, to find golf balls that work for their game. So I'm all for transparency and openness and education. I think that's what we're trying to do here. So just to explain these golf balls in general, to put some numbers to it, the Z-Star XV, that's sort of the highest compression golf ball that we make. It's 105, just to put a value to it. The Z-Star, the previous generation was at a 90, and we've backed this one down to 88. So still high compression golf ball. Those two golf balls are made for people with above average swing speeds in general. Some of, you know, the better players out there should be playing those golf balls. The Q-Star Tour, we call this a Q-Star because, you know, we offer a Q-Star right now, and that will stay in line. The Q-Star is the average swing speed family that Srixon offers. The Z-Star is sort of the tour swing speed. Q-Star golf ball, Q-Star Tour, the compression of that golf ball is 75. That's lower compression than the Z-Star family, but when we talk about those really low compression golf balls that are coming out, some of those are in the 30s or 40s. So the idea that just using the term low compression, I don't think everyone uses that the same way. So actually just defining the term itself is difficult. So, but then just to kind of continue of what is the difference between those compressions? Okay, you're throwing a lot of numbers at it. What actually happens with the golf ball? And that's kind of a, we'll get kind of technical here in the sense that the compression is going to affect a number of your launch conditions. It's going to affect your ball speed, your launch angle, and your spin. And the first thing that I would say that I think we should talk about specifically is how does compression affect ball speed? Because people wonder, should I find the right compression for my swing speed, or how should I fit compression? Does ball speed change depending on swing speed? And I think the first thing I would say is higher compression golf balls in general will have more ball speed.
Now,
and yeah,
before you go on, when we had you on previously, we talked a little about compression and spin and how there was this misnomer because for years, the marketing done by some companies suggested soft meant spin. They never differentiated that in marketing, which was really just not the case. And the perfect example of that was the lower end balls, like the noodle ball, where they talked about long and soft. And that's just not the case. But really, what it comes down to is one of the biggest misnomers that I find is spin in relation to golf balls and where it's coming from. And most people believe it's coming from the cover. And that's not necessarily not the case because the cover plays a big role, but the cover plays a bigger role the closer you get to the green. And when you're using full swings as an example, wouldn't you make the statement that compression will play more of a role in spin?
Yeah, I think you said it exactly right there. In general, your approach shot with irons or your shots around the green, your spin on those shots is more dictated by the cover, the interaction of the cover with the club face, and that you're generating friction. And in that sense, it should be easy for golfers to differentiate. There are tour cover, urethane cover golf balls that are softer covers, and those generate a lot of spin around the greens. And then there's everything else, which is not urethane. It's usually a material like Surlyn, which is an ionomer. So you hear those two words used a lot. Those will not spin as much around the greens. That's a big difference. But when you go to your full shots, your driver, fairway woods, hybrids, longer irons, the spin on those shots, I would agree with you, the way you said it, that has a lot more to do with the overall compression of the golf ball. So there's definitely a difference there.
To keep going on that, when you made the statement that the higher the compression in a general sense, and I don't want to make people think that we're speaking in absolute black and white, in a general sense, the higher the compression, the higher the ball speed. And that is backed up by a lot of our testing. That is also relative to the golfer because, you know, if a golfer swings 85 miles an hour, him picking up a golf ball that is 105 compression, that may not be the best thing because while ball speed might be okay, spin could be off the planet. And so it really is fitting the golf ball is a science to an aspect of making sure spin, ball speed, and everything, you're not compromising one to get the other.
Right. So I think to recap that, the general trend in a lot of cases, but speaking in generalities, higher compression will have higher ball speed, but also higher spin. And we're talking about these full shots still. So, and I like to just talk about off the tee because most people are familiar with hitting their drivers. So those high compression golf balls, the Z-Star XV, you can't beat it for ball speed. It's just outstanding. But if you're someone who struggles with spin and slices the ball a lot or, you know, hits it, would hit it farther with high launch, low spin, that might not be the right golf ball for you. And actually what we're finding and why you're starting to see more people lower compression on their golf ball is because a lower compression golf ball can have lower spin off of the driver. Lower spin can go farther for a lot of people, and it can go straighter for a lot of people. So the Q-Star Tour, compared to that Tour Premium line, for average swing speed players, or if you're below average, in general, that's going to be a benefit for you. You're going to get lower spin off your driver, it's going to go straighter, and in a lot of instances, farther, even though it might have a little bit less ball speed than you get with the Z-Star, the Z-Star XV.
One of the things that pops into my head, because it's been discussed at length throughout the digital golf world, is compression and overcompressing. Can you overcompress a golf ball? And I'm asking four people. You and I have actually had this conversation before. And if so, what happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think I would initially just look at that word overcompress. So what does that mean? And I think I would answer that to say, can you play a golf ball that is too low compression? Because when you say overcompress, maybe then you start thinking, can you actually deform a golf ball too much? Or it gets down sort of a confusing material durability. In general, I would say, can you play a golf ball that's too low compression? And I think the answer is definitely yes. We see above average swing speed players making trade-offs with low compression golf balls that just, it doesn't make sense. They are getting ultra low spin, lower ball speed. It's not going farther for them. It feels very mushy to them. So clearly you can have a golf ball that's too low compression. And so when we speak about this from a marketing sense, because you can't get this technical with every consumer and with a 20-second ad, you basically say, find the golf ball that is the compression that's going to fit your swing speed. Not everyone can compress a tour golf ball. And I think what we're basically saying there is, depending on your swing speed, feel is going to vary, ball speed is going to vary, spin is going to vary off of the tee, and you should really get fit into a golf ball that's going to optimize those things for your swing speed. So optimize means you can play a golf ball that's too high compression, and it also means you can go too low. So I think that to answer the question, yes, you can overcompress a golf ball. If by saying that you mean, yes, you can play a golf ball that is too low compression.
Now, you've been talking about the Q-Star Tour. You've mentioned it a couple times. And I looked at this product when it first came out, and I immediately said, oh, this fits into their lineup well. Strixon's dabbled in this in the past, but not to this extent, and not with SpinSkin, which is a technology that you guys use. But you are really kind of, in a weird way, taking aim at the golf ball market right now. You're putting out a three-piece urethane-covered golf ball that's lower compression without being too low, and doing it at a ridiculously good price point of under $30. And I'm not saying that because you gave me buzzwords or anything like that. I'm just talking about when we read what we read on THP, they talk about the golf ball market, and $30 price point is low when other three-piece urethane-covered balls are approaching $50 with similar compressions. So tell me about the goals there, and is it really about the Q-Star Tour and a certain golfer? Is it about taking aim at the golf ball industry? And I guess the final question would be, is there a negative there? Does it make the Q-Star look inferior to the Z-Star and Z-Star XV?
Yeah, those are all great questions, and I think you're totally right. Just to sort of summarize this, the fact that the Q-Star Tour...
That was kind of a convoluted question.
No, and I think to deconstruct it, the initial point of that the Q-Star Tour is like the Z-Star golf ball, just at a lower compression for $10 less, and yeah, nearly $20 less than you'd be buying other comparable tour-covered golf balls. So the pricing is indeed very aggressive, and it's deliberately so, just from a sense of Srixon. Globally, Srixon is huge, and on the global tours, we win more tournaments than most household brands that folks are familiar with in the U.S. I mean, more than Callaway, which would surprise a lot of people, more than TaylorMade, more than Bridgestone. So we know the performance is there, and that the golf ball can do what any other golf ball does. But to get people to try it, we need to do things other than talk about the product, and price is one of those things. So you run the risk of lowering a price so far that it suggests that there isn't performance, that there's something wrong with the ball. And I suppose the marketing folks would have to have a better ability to speak to walking that line. But I think the $29.99 price point with a golf ball that's got every bit of technology as something that's $20 more is, yeah, it's essentially saying, we've got the performance, we're going to prove it to you, we're giving you no reason not to try this golf ball. We want to plant our flag in the ground and show people what this thing can do. So, yeah, hopefully I'm glad that it elicited that reaction, and I think intentionally so.
Now, speaking of price
point, second part of your question, but I forget what it was.
We can kind of dive right into it with this. Kind of an interesting segue on price points. Srixon has come out with something called Trial Packs, and by the time this airs, people will have seen the coverage on THP of our guy James dropping boxes all over the place and Dean coming in and telling him, stop being an idiot, you can buy half dozens. You guys have these things called trial packs now, and it'll continue with Q-Star Tour, which is a half dozen for around $10. From what I've seen, they're around $10. I know there's no set real price. It might vary depending on location and geography and things like that. That's really getting people to say, hey, give it a try. Very different from the old, here's a sleeve for $10 kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So these are half dozen packs, like you said, for about $10. So a dozen golf balls would be $20. So I think a lot of retailers are going to have to limit how many of these that folks buy.
You took my next question. I mean, what makes people not just jump in there and buy as many trial packs as they can?
I think we're encouraging the retailers to be responsible about it, and they'll have to handle that in their own ways. But it is an extremely, you could basically make a good profit by buying them all up and reselling them. But I won't speak to that as much as what the point
good
is.
Plan.
The point is to get the golf balls into people's hands. And to do a proper fitting, you know, you can lose a golf ball, and I've heard people joke, and I would say myself, I've lost 2 golf balls on a single hole before. So to have 6 golf balls helps you do a more proper fitting. The Z-Star is really designed to have maximum greenside control with great distance, and the XV is your maximum distance golf ball with great greenside control. And they're similar golf balls. There's a little bit different feel, but people need to, and what our tour does is they get out and they play them for a number of rounds to understand which one is different. They hit them on a launch monitor. So we want to give people the opportunity to do that without having to shell out $80, and to give them a legitimate reason to try this golf ball that is the same exact golf ball that our tour players are using and winning week after week with. So it's really an effort. In conjunction with that, we have a number of people who are out in the field doing fittings. We're setting up on golf shops, on courses, getting people into the right strikes on golf ball, up and down the entire lineup. So I think you'll see a more aggressive effort from the brand, and hopefully your readers will as well see some of these fitters out there or have some of these trial packs at their local shops.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact on Twitter at THPGolf. And if you include the hashtag THPRadio, we'll include future questions on the show if Jeff decides he'll come back. I'm going to put a little rewind in here, and I want to go back to science because we have R&D on the phone, and there's no reason to continue down a marketing and crazy price point conversation. Your guy's core is a bit different than what we see out of other brands. Now, I'm not saying one's better, one's worse, or anything else, but when I get the materials, yours is different. Can you kind of walk our listeners through the core of the golf ball, because we've discussed that already, but what makes it different and what Srixon does differently than others?
Sure. So when you talk about the core of the golf ball, I'm going to talk about two things. Really, a lot of people will say this, and any manufacturer would agree that the core is your engine of the golf ball. That's where you're getting the most ball speed. You know, distance depends on designing a great core. So first and foremost, the Srixon difference is to make it's weird, you would talk about the cover. We're making the cover as thin as possible so that we have room to make as large a core as we can. So really, it's funny to start a conversation about the core with the cover, but the first step in designing a good core is making a really thin cover. So that's one thing we do. We have an extremely thin but soft cover. In addition to that, when you design this core, those trade-offs I've talked about with compression, where you can get great ball speed, but the driver spin is going to creep up a little bit, and that's a trade-off. You usually don't want both of those things. What Srixon is doing in the core of their golf balls, in all of them, and this is the fifth generation Z-Star, we've got this better than we've ever done before, is varying the stiffness of the core. So within the same component, within our core, we go from soft to firm. So our three-piece Z-Star has a core in it that's almost like a dual core. And what that essentially translates to and why this is important is we can get a lot of great ball speed and also keep driver spin down. And that's sort of the holy grail for getting you maximum distance. So typically, we love to put the Srixon golf ball on a launch monitor against other comparable golf balls, and we're going to win somehow. We're either going to have similar driver spin but better ball speed, or we're going to have the same ball speed with better launch conditions. And that's usually one of the key technologies to what separates and differentiates the Srixon golf ball.
You have what's essentially a dual core, and I hear that and I immediately think of computers, but what's the name of this whole thing, and what does you kind of describe what dual core does, but how does that, I'm this is going to sound ridiculous to our listeners, but I see all the pictures all the time of from every golf company of a golf ball with a quarter cut out of it, and it shows the different layers. What would yours look like that's different?
Yeah, so the Z-Star, this new Z-Star golf ball is a three-piece. It's got a soft cover, a hard mantle, and then the core is the third piece. And that core has this varying, we would essentially in some of our product catalogs, we color it differently because that within that one component, it goes from soft to firm. We call it energetic gradient growth core, which is a bit of a mouthful, and I usually abbreviate it EGG core. In the XV, we want to fine-tune the properties of the core even more. Essentially, if you're a golf ball engineer, your tools and what you want to be able to do with a golf ball is fine-tune the stiffness and the properties of those materials. So having a dual core in the XV allows us to do some different stiffnesses on the inner core and some different stiffnesses on the outer core. And even within those individual components, we're varying the stiffness. And this probably starts to get confusing for a consumer, but in general, we just have a lot of tools at our disposal, and I call them technologies, that allow us to put all those different properties into the golf ball to maximize performance. Did that answer your question?
Completely. So okay. One last question I have, and you mentioned it earlier, that a lot of people haven't experienced a Srixon golf ball before. And they have worldwide, but not necessarily in the U.S., for the common golfer who's going to pick up one of your trial packs or buy a dozen of the Q-Star Tour, the Z-Star, or the Z-Star XV, what should they look for the first time? Or is it going to be, hey, great, I found a golf ball that performs as good as mine at less money? I think my personal belief is they're going to see something a little different. What do you think they'll see?
That's a good question. And it's funny, I don't think the average golfer, you talked about this, is what is the average golfer going to see? Our tour players tell us things that I don't think the average golfer can necessarily see. Things like the golf ball being amazingly stable in the wind or very consistent on distance control. It's difficult for average golfers to see those things because I definitely don't hit the ball a consistent enough distance to really recognize that a golf ball is different than a competitor's. Just because I'm not that consistent. What I think consumers will see, and one thing we haven't even talked about, is one thing is durability. The durability is outstanding, which is not a very sexy thing to look for. But
no, but it's true with premium balls that are expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive. That's one thing. And if you can get on a launch monitor, or if you're familiar enough with your local course, look for the increases in distance. Look for how the launch conditions are varying, that you can get more ball speed. I'd put the XV up against any other golf ball at any swing speed. We're going to win on ball speed. So if you have the luxury of seeing your launch conditions, look for that. Otherwise, look for extra distance. And with the spin skin, I think you're going to see extra spin around the green. So you're going to see that ball check up a little more. That's a unique technology we've pioneered, and this is a third generation, the softest ever. So the golf ball's got a lot of things that should separate its performance from tee to green.
There you have it, gang. We want to thank Jeff for coming on the show and talking to us. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or On the Tee Box. And don't forget to leave a review with your thoughts in iTunes on what your favorite THP radio show is. So for myself, and of course Jeff, we hope you enjoyed the new episode. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.